Father, as always, I thank you for this hour of power. Hallelujah. And I thank you because the entrance of your word not only brings light and gives understanding, your word is like a hammer. Glory to God. I can shatter all kinds of things that do not belong and barriers and various things, you know, in our lives. And I pray this morning, let everyone be lifted into your presence. Let's receive encouragement from the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, you know, God bless you for being here. I am glad that you are, and you will be glad that you are, and that you came in before this room is over. I believe God appointed you to hear this. You know, it's nothing new, but there is an anointing. See, the thing with the Lord is there is an anointing for each day. And there is an anointing that he calls for each service or each time we come together, each time we bring the word of the Lord. So we can't depend on yesterday's only. We got to get it today, and we got to get it every day. And when he brings it, it's going to be a blessing to you. So today, I want to talk on this topic. Surely there is an end. Hallelujah. And your expectation shall not be cut off. And we take that scripture text, the reference for this lesson from Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 18. Surely, he said, for surely there is an end. Glory to God. And your expectation shall not be cut off. God shall, you know, grant you that expectation. Well, there are two sides to that lesson. First of all, the first part of the lesson says, no matter how long the struggle has been or how long the wait has been, there is an end to that wait. Glory to God. I'll tell you a couple of stories from the Bible, but more importantly, I'm going to say a few things and pray over the room today. You know, so that's the first part. No matter how long it's been going on, whatever it is that you've been waiting for, praying or believing God for, you know, there is an end. Hallelujah. So that's the first part. The second part talks about your expectation. I mean, I believe that it can't be truly any miracle without expectation. You got to be expecting. Hallelujah. In fact, the great things that God does, you know, all of them, you know, walk around expectation. In fact, Christ, even now, we are told, is seated at the right hand of God, expecting till all his enemies be made his footstool. Glory to God. So there's always that expectation, you know. Well, you know, even Christ is expecting that, you know, the final straw, I mean, or the final nail, you know, whatever you say that breaks the camel's back, but I don't know how they say straw and so forth. Final nail in the devil's curtain, I mean, coffin, the last enemy, death. He already conquered it, but hasn't quite, been manifested in all of us. But he's waiting, expecting till all his enemies be made his footstool, and the last enemy will be death, you know. And so we also must be expecting. We must be in expectation. There are two parts to this lesson today. So let me deal with the first part first. There is going to be an end to whatever struggle, whatever situation, whatever long-standing request that you had. There are a few stories in the Bible. I'm going to just paraphrase. I really won't read all of these stories, you know, that I want to talk about today. I may read a scripture here or there. I'll paraphrase mostly. One of my favorite stories, and I've said it many times, and I love it. You know, this word of God is something that you must go back to again and again. I mean, some people say, well, I've heard that before. Well, yes, because, you know, we have to go back again and again. the story, you know, in John chapter 5. And I love that story. And I've told it multiple times. And, you know, it brings out many good aspects of this thing, this lesson today. You know, in this particular story, you may know the story of the man 38 years with an infirmity. You know, that he, you know, come and said, look, there was a certain man there which had an infirmity 38 years. It's not that the man was 38 years old, but that his infirmity has been on him 38 years. It could be at least 38 years. We don't know if he was born with the infirmity or the infirmity came upon him later, but he's had that infirmity at least 38 years. John chapter 5 and verse 5. And this was the place where, because of the mercies of God, God would send an angel at a certain season into that pool, stir the water, you know, and the Bible says that, you know, whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease they had. Hallelujah. And there was a great multitude of impotent folk there, including this man. So Jesus comes upon the scene, and Bible says, when Jesus saw him lying down there, and knowing that he had been a long time in that case, well, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, no matter what you are going through, Jesus is seeing you right now. He also knows that you may have been a long time in that case, if you have been a long time in that case. Maybe some of you have been dealing with this thing for just a week. Maybe you've been dealing for a couple of weeks, a couple of months, a few years. Maybe you've been dealing with it for many years. Whatever it is, Jesus knows it. You know, so Jesus comes to the man and asks him a question. Wilt thou be made whole? Hallelujah. Now, that's a question. You know, it's like the man is sick. He's lying in, you know, there, crippled and everything. Why is Jesus asking him that question? Well, because, you know, doesn't want to impose on him. Will you be made whole? Sometimes we go out to pray for the sick and different things, minister people around neighborhood and things like that. And some of them don't want to be made whole. They don't want anything. You know, some of them are bitter against the Lord. And sometimes I'll ask, well, would you like me to pray for you? What would you like the Lord to do for you? Would you like to be made whole? One time I even asked, you know, last week I went out somewhere. And I said to the people, I said, yeah, today I'm come out fishing. I said exactly that. I said, I'll come fishing today. Would you like to be caught? And one lady said up, said, yes, you know, I'm ready. I want to be caught. I said, do you know what that means? He said, yes. I said, well, you know, the fish and the fishing that I'm doing is for the gospel and the kingdom today. And she said, yes. I said to another man, and the other man said, yeah, you know, I'm ready. I said, well, but, you know, and then I said a few other things, and I said, well, but you must fess up now. And they began to confess. I said, well, you know, now all of a sudden I see that a couple of them are ready. See? Ready. So, you know, and then Jesus said to this man, wilt thou be made whole? Just to see if the man was ready. But the answer of the man will surprise you. He was like, are you kidding me? That's basically what he was saying. Are you kidding me? I've been coming here all this time. And I've been waiting for that angel to move that water. But because of my condition, well, he was not the only one like that. There was a lot of them like that. So this man's feeling sorry for himself, feeling that, you know, somebody's always stepping in ahead of him. And he said, look, somebody always gets in ahead of me, and you have to. And he's explaining to Jesus, look, you have to be the first one. You can't be there too early, and you can't be too late. And when I'm getting up, trying to get in there once that, you know, water is stirred up, somebody steps in ahead of me. But, you know, I've lost the chance so many times, but I'm here waiting again. So what do you mean, would I be made whole? And Jesus says to the man, never mind about the water. Never mind about the pool. Never mind about the angel. Today, hallelujah. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I say this so many times. I love to use this text, even when I'm on the evangelistic trail out there, the missions field, on stage, you know, in crusade. I love to say this because, look, many times we are looking in one particular direction for how God is going to do what he's going to do, or what we believe he's doing, going to do for us, or what we're waiting on him for. And this man was looking, all of the people that were there, they were looking for the moving of, they camped out. They were camping out, you know, just camping out because they don't know when this thing will happen. There was a certain season, but nobody knew exactly when, but they knew it's around this time. So they camped out. And after that thing happened, one person got healed. The rest of them went home disappointed. And then they have to wait for the next season. Well, we don't know whether it was a year or whatever. But whatever it was, they come back again. Some of them may never come back. This man came back because he's telling me, look, I've tried this before. Somebody keep getting in ahead of me. And Jesus tells him, like, look, you're looking to the water and you're looking to the angel. But today, it's not about that. Glory to God. So, ladies and gentlemen, here is the good news for you today. Today, it's not about whatever way you are looking at, hoping and believing God that that's how God will do it. Well, it's a good thing that you're hoping and believing God. But he may not do it through that way. He may do it a different way. Hallelujah. So Jesus says to the man, today, forget the angel, forget the water. Take up your bed. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo-hoo. My goodness. Well, the man always tried to do that. He couldn't do it. But, you know, the voice of the master, bones, crooked bones, and everything else respond to that voice. Ladies and gentlemen, when the master speaks, the creation responds. Even fish will respond. When the Lord spoke to Peter, go catch a fish and open up the first one and bring out the coin and pay the tax. As soon as he said that, his voice carried through to their lake or wherever Peter was going. And all those fishes, they started to struggle to be the one that will swallow that one coin that was there because the master spoke it. Hallelujah. And when the master speaks it, the bones, the crooked bones and everything in this man began to come into place. Hallelujah. Began to come in, and immediately he was restored. My goodness. But there was an expectation in him. See, he was expecting something. Although he was looking, you know, in the same place that they have always looked at. But today it was going to be different. You know, but he didn't know that. But he was expecting. Also in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John going to the temple. This man was expecting to receive an alms from them. So he was expecting something. But Peter said, today it's not silver and gold I'm going to give you. I'm going to do one better. Glory to God. But the man was expecting something. So there's always, you know, that expectation that is good. And let me tell you another lesson about the wait, you know, the long wait. Sometimes there is a long wait, you know, and how long will it be? Or how long has it been that the Lord, I mean, you know, before he comes through for you? I love this story in Genesis chapter 29. In Genesis chapter 29, there was a story of Jacob and Laban and Rachel and so forth, Leah and everything. And, you know, Jacob wanted Rachel, but Laban tricked him into giving him Leah first. And, you know, it went 7 years for that, you know, to pay as his price to get this woman out of her father's house and become his wife. But it was not what he bargained for. He was tricked into it. And the man said, well, you know, it's not our culture to give you the younger girl before the older. So I'll give you this older. That's it. That's what you got. But if you still want the younger, well, Work for me for another 7 years. And then you have it. Now, 14 years, ladies and gentlemen, this man had to put up with this, you know, and during those 14 years, the man changed his wages multiple times, 10 times. Later, Jacob said, you've changed my wages these 10 times. Every time they agreed to something, Laban, you know, Laban was a trickster, but Jacob was even more of a trickster. And Jacob will get the last laugh. But while he was going through, he had to go through for 7 years. Well, the Bible says that, well, those 7 years looked like but yesterday to him because of the love that he had for Rachel in his heart. So he endured the first 7 years. He got Leah. He wasn't satisfied. What he wanted was really, or who he wanted was really Rachel. And so he had to put up with another 7 years. And he patiently endured because of the love that he had. Can you imagine? I mean, the 7 years more tacked onto you for the first seven, upon the seventh, first 7 years. But he did. But at the end of the day, well, the Lord gave him inspiration of the Almighty on how he's going to recover all the wages and more that Laban had twisted and tricked him out of, changed his wages every time. They agree on something, man will change it. You know, so, well, Jacob had his own one day over him. The Lord gave him wisdom, inspiration, and how to get the wealth of Laban transferred to him legally. You know, and you may have heard the story, and I've told it before. Read it for yourself if you haven't heard it. How Jacob told the man, look, I'm going to get these kinds of flock that have these spotted, wrinkled, and all the ones you don't like. Those will be my wages. And everything else that's smooth color, they'll be yours. So if you find among my stuff anything that's not the one we agreed on, then you will know. And the man said, oh, yeah, that's good. Because he didn't want the other kind anyway. And so Jacob, in a dream, in a vision of a night, while men slept, the Lord sealed the instruction in their heart. So God sealed the instruction, gave this man revelation. He got up with, took some sticks, made some rings, strikes in them and so forth, put it before the cattle when they were mating. And every one of them came out in the color that Jacob wanted. Glory to God. Now, that's an incredible thing. You know, I've told that story before, but that's not my story today. But my story today, my lesson today is he had to wait a long time. In fact, double the wait for what he was looking for. But there was an end to it. There's always an end. This thing cannot go on forever. Whatever it is, the thing that you have been dealing with, this thing that has eluded you cannot go on forever. In fact, in Psalm 30 and verse 5, we are told that although sorrow may endure for a night, yet joy is coming in the morning. And the way I translate that is the night cannot last forever. Hallelujah. There is an end coming to the night. In fact, in the seasons that we endure and have to go through in life, God put it out there to teach us lessons every day, these seasons, lessons of faith. That look, there's cycles of day and night, there's cycles of evening and morning. And all these cycles are there. And so when you are going through the night, just like the song we heard, he's the God of the light, but he's also God in the night. It's not God of the night, but even when you are in the night, he's still God there. So while you are on the mountaintop, he's the God of the mountain, you know. But even when you come down into the valley, he's still God in the valley. And while you are waiting, you know, valley of waiting, and sometimes long hope wearies the heart. People are waiting and waiting. You're stretching forth your hand. And when you are this close, you miss it. Every single time, you know, you miss it. You're always this close, but you always miss it. You know, and ladies and gentlemen, you know, let me say unto you the word of the Lord today that surely there is an end. Hallelujah. And it's just around that corner too, you know, but you must hold on. And don't give up and don't give in. Now, if this man of 38 years infirmity had given up, he said, well, the last 3 or 4 times, you know, somebody got in ahead of me. That's it. I'm calling it quits. And he didn't come back. Well, he would not have had this encounter with the master. you know. So don't give up. Don't give in. You know, Rachel was the prize. And Jacob wasn't going to give up. It might take 7 extra years, 14 years in total. But he knew in his heart that there is an end. And I'm going to get that thing one way or another. He knew it. And he's going to get it. Praise the Lord. And there's always an end to everything. No matter how long it took. Even if it took 430 years of torment from the Egyptians and everything. Someday, glory to God, there will be an end. Because there's always an end. And one day the Lord will say, I have seen the affliction of my people year after year after year after year. I waited for them to cry unto me. And now finally I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. And it is enough. I am now set forth to go down and deliver them. Now you go down there and do it. Glory to God. Now. So, I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter how long it's been, how long the night will be. Sometimes when we are in the United States, yeah, there's some winter states that have long winters. And then in the winter nights, those nights are long, drawn out. They have longer nights, you know, maybe even 4 or 5 hours than it should normally be. But no matter what. No matter how long the night stretches, at some point in time, that day must break. Glory to God. I always comfort myself with those words that look, I don't care how dark it is now. I don't care how long the night is going to be. There must be an end. Surely there is an end. And that's why the Lord put it that way. First, it was the evening before the morning. See, so he arranged it like that. He didn't say the morning and the evening. No. He said the evening and the morning were the first day. And there was a reason for that. You know, so you go through the struggles and the scripture says that after that you have suffered a while. That's right. And sometimes that while is a little more than just a while. Sometimes people really suffer, you know, but I guarantee you there are scriptures, there are people in the Bible that have gone through stuff that the Lord put there to give us encouragement when we are going through similar stuff. You know, now, the Lord will always come through for you. Now, it may be, you know, that, you know, you suffer for a long while, for a short while, for a longer while. You know, but look at what 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 10 says. That after you have suffered a while. Well, why? I mean, why don't you just come through for me already? I mean, why do I have to go through stuff first before the Lord comes through? Well, it brings character. You know, hallelujah. Character, the God of all grace. Who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Look, many of us would like to reverse this scripture. You know, that let the God of all grace settle me first. I don't want to suffer a while. You know, why do I have to suffer through all of this and then later you make me perfect and establish me and settle me? Why not settle me at first? Well, I don't know. But known unto God are all his works from the beginning. Whatever his reasons are, one thing we do know is that surely there is an end. Glory to God. And your expectation shall not be cut off. Your expectation shall not be cut off. Now, what is it that you are expecting? And what is it that you are believing God for? You know, ladies and gentlemen, let me put it to you this way. You know, that expectation must be front and center for you. That's right. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, famous scripture that everybody loves. Well, he says, well, I know the thoughts that I have toward you. This is what the Lord does. He knows his thoughts. And what kind of thoughts does the Lord have towards you? Well, you know, and you say, well, it doesn't feel like that right now. It doesn't feel like the Lord has good thoughts towards me. Well, the devil will tell you that. It doesn't feel like that right now. Because right now, you know, I am, you know, in a place, in a bad place, some people say, you know. And so a lot of things going on with them, you know, and they're looking. And sometimes people actually lose hope because long hope wearies the heart. You know, after a while, you know, people just give up and give in and just throw down the towel and everything, you know. But the Lord is saying, look, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That expectation, look. So that expectation must be there. What is it that you are expecting? Look, are you expecting, you know, some people say, well, you know, I'm expecting to be married. Okay, fine. I'm expecting to have a child. Okay, fine. I'm expecting my healing. Okay, fine. I'm expecting, you know, a breakthrough in this area and that. Whatever it is that you are expecting, I tell you, there is an end to that wait. But Jesus, he recognized it and he knows that, you know, sometimes we will wait. And then he tells you like, look, in Luke chapter 18, he told them, the Lord will avenge you speedily. Don't think that he's not coming through. He will come through. Now, sometimes he doesn't look like he's coming through, but he is coming through for you. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3 says, look, while you are waiting for the vision, it may be for yet an appointed time, but at the end, there's always an end, at the end it shall speak, and it will not lie. And though it tarry, wait for it, for it will surely come. It will not tarry long. Hallelujah. That the end, the vision must speak. You know, that word of the Lord, which said, I am the Lord that healeth thee, at the end, it must speak. Hallelujah. You know. Now, no matter how long you waited for that healing, that word will come through for you. Well, I'm waiting for my child, you know, and so forth. One woman, she waited many years. She gave up. You know, so finally, Elisha says to her one day, she says, well, you've done us all this kindness. Every time we come here, you set us a place and so on, you know, and, you know, it's what called the Shunammite woman. And so, Elijah says to his servant, go ask this woman, what would she like for the Lord to do for her? The woman said, look, I'm okay. I dwell in my own place. I'm not looking for anything. I'm okay. And, you know, the servant says to Elijah, but look, this woman, she doesn't have a child. Elijah say, ah, you know, and so he turns to the woman and say, okay, at this time, according to the time of life, this time, in the time of life, well, we know that to be 9 months or whatever, you will embrace a son. And the woman said, oh, my Lord, look, do not lie to me. Don't raise my false hopes. I've been there, done that. You know, they told me I would do this. They prayed over me. They prophesied over me. I've gone to doctors or whatever. You know, look, now I'm reclined. You know, I've just resigned to it. That look, it's all right. You know, I've accepted it. Don't worry about it. Don't raise my hopes here. <Woo-hoo>. And the man said, well, it is what it is. I've spoken the word of the Lord, and so be it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me announce to you that, yes, it was what it was. And the word of the Lord came to pass nonetheless. No matter how long that lady had been waiting. In fact, the word of the Lord broke through all of that. Hallelujah. You know, and eventually, when time came around it, it was exactly the time. And it was just like that. And one day, years ago, I was privileged to experience something like that. I went to a certain place to preach in a certain country. And the hosting pastor put in my bags in the hotel room with his wife. I never met them before. And I said to him, Holy Spirit just said, ask her if she has a... if they have a child. And I asked, you guys have a child? And they started crying. The woman crying uncontrollably, the man sobbing. But the woman was really crying. Like, it's a simple question. Why are you crying? You know. And they cried. Took several minutes. Finally, the man calmed the woman down. And said, well, it was a simple question. I don't know, you know, what happened. That touched a nerve or something. And he said, 8 years we've been married. Miscarriage upon miscarriage. We've done this. We've done that. We've run all over the place and so on. And we've tried many times. So she would be pregnant and she wouldn't have it. And now you tell us, you know, and now you ask us. And I say, oh, okay. I said, according to the time, and I remember the words of Elisha. And I said, according to the time of life, you know, from this time, 9 months from today, glory to God, you know, and then, well, I just left it like that. We prayed about other things, went on, did the crusade and everything, left that country, you know, and this was in Tanzania in 2008, and then came back to the U.S., forgot all about it, and one day, I remember. I said, oh, that Pastor Raymond, I never heard from him. I said this thing, and I knew that that word would not fall to the ground. At certain times, you speak certain things, you just know it. And I said, wow. So I sent him an email. Whatever happened? I never heard back from you. He sends back a long email with some pictures and stuff. And I started apologizing. By that time, you know, the girl was already several months old. You know, she had this little, they had this little baby called Kayla or something. And sent back the pictures and, you know, gave a testimony. He said, Pastor, it was just like you prayed. In fact, 9 months after that, we had this baby. And the baby was now, I don't know, I forget how long it's been at that time. The baby was now some months. He sent the picture. And I said, wow. Well, why didn't you then say anything? I got caught up in this and that. Anyway, that word never fell to the ground. There is surely an end, ladies and gentlemen. And your expectation shall not be cut off. And sometimes the devil try to put you to shame. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you the word of the Lord today for those of you that devil try to put to shame. You know, here's what the Lord said. And he said it repeatedly. And I'm going to read it to you out of the book of Joel chapter 2. I'm going to read it to you in two or three verses. He said it repeatedly. You know, my people shall never be ashamed. You know, verse 26. He said, you shall eat in plenty, shall be satisfied, shall praise the name of the Lord your God, who had dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Well, you know, when I read stuff like this in the Word, I hold on to it. I say, Lord, you said your people shall never be put to shame. Why then do we have this shame? Now, you know, remember, your name is at stake here. You know, so, you know, I ask, Lord, that you stand up and confirm this your word. Glory to God. And so he went on again and said, well, the next verse, he said the same thing. And you shall know that I am in the midst of my people and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. I mean, twice in two verses, back to back, he says the same thing. My people shall never be ashamed. Well, that's the same thing as your expectation not being cut off. When you have expectation, especially, you know, when you put it out there that I'm trusting the Lord. Well, if the Lord doesn't come through for you, then you will be ashamed. And if you are ashamed, then his name will be disgraced because his name is his reputation. Some of you have heard me say that. And his name is at stake. So, ladies and gentlemen, there is an end. Yeah, and when the devil comes against you like a flood to eat up your flesh, Sammy said, stumbled and fell. Now, sometimes that process, that struggle, that battle, that goes on for a long time. But one way or another, that devil will kiss the dust. Glory to God. One way or another, he will stumble and fall. One way or another, the Lord will raise up your head that you will not be ashamed. Glory to God. Especially If you know how to make it the Lord's fight. You know, you heard me say this many times. People that knew how to do it, they always got the better of the devil. Like Hezekiah said, well, for truth, they cast all those their gods into the fire because there were no gods. But you are the very God. Now, when you tell God that way, oh my goodness. Woo-hoo-hoo. And he said, look, now, Lord, save us from his hand. Not that we should not perish. Not even that we should not be ashamed. He went further to say, look, so that your name, hallelujah, you know, your name, which is at stake here, that you will get renowned to your name, that all the kingdoms of the world may know who you are, that you are a God that delivered by a strong hand. Hallelujah. So, ladies and gentlemen, here is the deal today. There is surely an end. Now, there are the good times when we are on the mountain. Sometimes we forget that this life is up and down. It's full of mountains and valleys. You know, all of us would like to be on the mountain all the time. Well, you know, that's not possible. Because Jesus said, in this world, you shall have tribulations. That's like in the valley. You will be in the valley at times. And look, because the journey is filled with many mountains. Look at it that way. From where you are to where you need to be, there are many mountains that you must scale. And so when you climb the first mountain, in order for you to climb the next mountain, you're going to have to come down from this mountain. You can't jump from one mountain to another. You know, so, you know, that's why the life is just undulating like that. At times, for the most parts, when we are on top of that mountain, there may be a time of repose, you know, that we're just like, you know, a flat. It's like a plateau. You know, there's good times. God gives you rest. God gave Asa rest, 15 years, he had no wars. God gave Solomon rest, they had no wars. I mean, sometimes they will give them, and then boom, all of a sudden, devil will come in. And that's the way it is. Jesus himself experienced it. The Bible says that the devil departed from him for a season, which means he came back again. They didn't, you know, the writers of the gospel, they didn't spend time to record it all, but devil always came back, you know, because he would only go for a season. You know, you can't put the, only God will put the final seal on the devil, and it's not quite yet. And one day he will, you know. But right now, you can get rid of him for a season, you know. And sometimes he will rear his ugly head again, and you have to whack him down. It's like a whack-a-mole, you know. One mole jumps up here, you whack him down, so he jumps up again there, you whack him again. Hallelujah. Anytime, you know. But sometimes when you are in that valley, it just seems like a long wait, he can't seem to crawl out of that valley, you know. But ladies and gentlemen, and the clouds come in that valley and it's so dark and it looks like these mountains are overwhelming. But one way or another, joy is coming in the morning. There's no way the night can last forever. Just take it like that. You may be in a night season right now, and it may be your evening, but ladies and gentlemen, at even time, there shall be light. Woo-hoo-hoo. God will bring that light again. That's what Micah said. He understood it. He said, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. Why? Because when I fall into the valley, the Lord will make me arise again. I'm not going to stay down for the count. You may have knocked me down, but I'm getting up. And when I sit in darkness, you know, in the night, the Lord will yet be a light unto me. Because the light must come. The day must break. The night cannot last forever. Sorrow may be enduring right now in the night, but surely there is an end. Hallelujah. And today, my prayer over this room will be that the Lord will strengthen you to hold on. Hold on now. You know, it may be just around the corner. There's a story in Exodus 15 that the people, they went from place to place. They had no water. They crumbled. They did everything. And even when they found water, the water was bitter. They couldn't drink it. I mean, it was always one problem or the other. But right around just about when they were ready to give up and say, look, enough of this already. Let's go back to Egypt. I mean, we are a lot better there. Well, they forget and forgot that they were not a lot better at all. You know, and then, you know, the Bible says in Exodus 15, verse 27, and they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. The Lord had preserved for them. It was just right around the corner. Most of the time when people are almost at their breaking point, it's because the day is just about to break. You know, a woman, when she's pregnant and struggling to get that baby out of there, and, you know, when she's almost can't do it, because the baby is just right there, all you got to do is just push a little more. Hold on a little longer. You know, hang in there with the Lord just a little more. Well, Lord, the question is, why, Lord? Why must we wait? Why must we suffer? Why must we go through this and stuff like that? Why not just come through for us right at the beginning? Well, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, you know, the scripture is very clear that Christ suffered a lot to come to his glory. And sometimes we have to suffer. It brings character out of us. The thing, though, is this. Are you going to give in just because the wait is long? Don't give in. That's coming an end. Hold on to your expectation. Your expectation shall not be cut short. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 31, here is the way that the Lord puts it out to you. That he will never fail you. Glory to God. You know, he said, and the Lord, in verse 8 of Deuteronomy 31, he is the one that doth go before you. He will be with you. He will not fail thee. Hallelujah. And he will not forsake thee. Fear thou not and be not dismayed. He will not fail you. He will grant that expectation that you are believing God for. Whatever it is today, I want you to believe the Lord with me. I'm going to believe God. I told you that occasionally I'm going to do these prayer rooms, you know, and so forth. We're going to switch from all the teaching and stuff. And, you know, occasionally we'll come in here and pray for one another and boost our faith, you know, because, you know, you're right there. Don't give up when you're right there. Most people give up when they're right there, you know. And, you know, some people say that, you know, it's the darkest just before the daybreak. You know, the darkest hour is right there when that thing is just about to break. And day is about to dawn. And the Bible said the day will dawn and the day star will arise in your hearts. And so don't give up and don't give in, but hold on to your expectation and set your expectations right. Check the word of God for his promises, such as this one I just read. He will not fail you. Hallelujah. He will not fail you. Now, fail means there is something that you are expecting, but you will be disappointed. That's fail. Now, when the Lord says he will not fail you, that means the expectation will be granted. It will not be cut off. It will not fail you. In fact, our theme text for today was Proverbs 23 and 18. Your expectation shall not be cut off. But let me read the last verse of Proverbs 24 and 14 to you as well. You know, so as you see again that he also says that your expectation also shall not be cut off. Hallelujah. He said, look, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto your soul. When you have found it, there shall be a reward. And thy expectation shall not be cut off. Now, that's the second time he's saying it. Your expectation will not be cut off, but you must have that expectation. Now, some of you may be struggling with, it may not be health, it may be a health crisis. It may be a situation, it may be a financial crisis, maybe whatever. You know, you got to believe that the Lord is coming through for you with the strategy that you need. Hallelujah. The Lord promised us something in the book of Deuteronomy, this same Deuteronomy, powerful script. Well, there are many places in the Bible, powerful promises, you know, but especially God was talking to these children of Israel when they came out and trying to get them ready for what was ahead. You know, Deuteronomy 8 and 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that doth give you the power to get wealth. Now, not exactly wealth that he gives to you, but he gives you the power. This is the strategy. He will give it to you. And don't forget it. You know, he will show you how. It's kind of like the Lord told Noah that the rain was coming to destroy the world, you know, but Noah has to build the ark. God's not going to build the ark, but he'll show you where to find the timber. You know, he will show you where to find oak, solid oak, where to find people who are skilled to do it together and so forth. You know, God will show you where to find solution. Hallelujah. So God will give you the power. Yeah, not exactly the wealth, but the power. It's called hidden riches or secret places and the treasures of darkness, which are not known. God will begin to reveal them to you, just like he did to Jacob, gave him hidden secrets of how to make the calves when they calve to bring forth colors that he wanted and transfer the whole wealth from Laban to himself. Glory to God. That's powerful secrets in these scriptures. Now, what is your expectation today? What is the thing that has eluded you? You have been praying on for months, years, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7, 10, however long it may be, 38 years in the case of the man with the infirmity. Well, you know, I pray and hope that none of you have been struggling with one particular thing for 38 years. But even if it were, you know, surely there is an end. Hallelujah. And what is the thing that you are expecting from the Lord? You know, we've had people come into this room and declare that, you know, some of our singles have declared that they are expecting to be married. You know, or maybe single again, expecting to, you know, find love again and be married. Whatever. Maybe expecting a child. That's good. Maybe expecting your healing. That's good. You know, whatever it is that we are believing God for, there is an end to the process, to the struggle, to the darkness and the night that you're going through right now, and that day must break. Hallelujah. And my prayer is that the breaking of the day, the dawning of the day, hallelujah, the dawning of that day in your heart, the rising of the day star, my prayer today will be that it starts right now. But let me tell it to you one more time before I pray over the room. Surely there is an end. No matter what it is that we've been facing, no matter what it is that you've been going through, and you are here today to participate in this release. That's right. And from time to time, as the Lord calls for it, I will do this in this room. We'll teach for a while, and then we'll come in. Because you always need this boost. It's like, you know, the devil's telling you, stay down when you are knocked down. You know, but in your corner, there is the Lord. The angel of the Lord is in your corner. And the Holy Spirit is with you. And he's saying, get up. I'm right here. And, you know, say, And the devil said, no, stay down. And the count is going. One, stay down. Two, and your corner says, get up. The other corner says, stay down. And three, and you're there, you know, and four, and five, and six, and seven, and eight. And I've seen some great fights. So I've seen some cases where someone was knocked down in an earlier round in the bout. And yet they came and eventually won that fight because they did not stay down for the count. You know, so you may be knocked down and that may happen. But are you going to stay down for the count? Micah said, no. When I fall, I shall arise. When the devil chip shot me, I'm going to get up again. Huh, glory to God. And when I sit in darkness, you know, the Lord's going to be a light to me. And you know that when we are on the mountain, it's like we are in the light. The word of God is coming to us freely. We're getting, the boost. Holy Spirit is speaking. The angel of the Lord is whispering in our ears. Things are great. We're just hearing his voice. We're rejoicing in the light. One day, you're going to be down in the valley. And it will be like his voice is so far away. You won't hear his voice. The angel will be silent. Everything will be silent. And you'll be like you are in the dark. Ladies and gentlemen, here is my encouragement. When you are in the valley, when you are in the dark, when you are in the night, remember his word that he spoke to you when you were in the light. That's right. Because the Lord already prepared you for it. Remember, God never starts anything until first he finishes that thing. So the Lord's already finished it before it even started. That's right. So when you are in that situation where it's dark, there doesn't seem to be any breakthrough coming. There doesn't seem to be any day, light of day coming. Remember what he told you. And even when his voice is silent, at times we go through stuff. Oh my God, keep not silence. Why does my bones and everything groan within me night and day? Where is my God? The psalmist cried out many times. The Lord's always right there. Praise God. You know, sometimes our, you know, panic and everything is preventing us from hearing his voice. When you panic, you really can't hear what he's saying. Because it's a still small voice. And all the noise and ruckus and panic and so forth may shut it out. And it seems as if he's not there, but he's already with you. Hallelujah. You know. And so when you are in that moment, those dark hours, remember what he told you when you were in the light. When you were in the valley, remember what he spoke to you when you were on the mountaintop. Hallelujah. And the Lord says to you, look, down in the mountain, down in the valley or up on the mountain, wherever you are, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will not fail you. And remember that none has failed of all of his good promises that he promised to the house of Israel. He's done it all. He has kept his word. Joshua said it. Solomon said it. None of the things that he has promised has ever failed. He has kept all. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever you are going through today, hallelujah, let me say to you freely by the word of the Lord, that surely there is an end and your expectation shall not be cut off. And I'm going to switch it now and I'm going to pray over the room. That's right. I'm going to pray the grace of God. Hallelujah. To bring you closure. Glory to God. That's right. You know, you've been going through some stuff. And it's almost like every time you get close to a breakthrough, everything falls apart. And you try again, and then everything falls apart again. And you try again, and everything falls apart again. But I say to you today, that there is an expectation. There is an expectation that there will be an end. Hallelujah. You know, there has to be an end because it cannot last forever. There has to be an end. The only thing that lasts forever is eternal life. Everything that has a beginning must have an end. There was a beginning of sorrows when your situation started. And because it has a beginning, it's a finite life. And it must also end. And surely there is an end. And the expectation that you have of the Lord to come through for you shall not be cut off. Now, I am going to pray. Hallelujah. I want to pray. And like I said, I'll do this from time to time when the Lord calls for it. He did call for it today. And I'm going to pray over the room. Take advantage of it. Tap into the grace that is brought to you today under the anointing for this room. And the anointing that you believe is what can help you. Glory to God. Throughout the scriptures, Naaman, when he came to Elisha and he told him, go do this, and he didn't. He just walked away in anger. Well, one of his servants had to go tell him, look, if the man would have told you some great thing, would you not have done it? Why don't you just do this little thing that he's telling you? And say, well, I thought he would just come out here, jump up and down, shout and strike the leper and call upon the name of his God and do. He wouldn't even come out to me. And he told me to go and wash in Jordan and all the rivers of Syria, better than all this Jordan River. You know, but they persuaded him. They said, look, my father, just do this thing. Glory to God. And once he yielded to the anointing, that was his miracle right there. Glory to God. You must believe the anointing for it to work for you. That's it. There was a mighty man of God that God sent to this generation. And the angel of the Lord told him, he said, if you can just get the people to believe you, there shall nothing stand before you. You know, that was what the Lord told him. If you can just believe the Lord today and believe the word that we have spoken to you, which I spoke in the name of the Lord, then your expectation shall not be cut off. And there is an end to that thing, no matter how long you struggle with it. So right now I'm going to pray. I'm going to switch the order of the room. Right now I am going to pray. And I want you to pray with me and believe the Lord with me. Now, Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Well, that's all things. That's not some things. That's all things. And I believe with all my heart that when I pray, asking in prayer, believing for you today, we will receive. And I invite you to join your faith with mine in accordance to this word that said in Matthew 18 and 19, again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Now, let's believe the integrity of his word. The problem with Eve was the devil was able to get her to doubt God's integrity. Do you believe the integrity of what Jesus said here? Well, I do. I just need one person to believe with me. That's you. If you believe and I believe and we come together and pray over this thing, and I am going to literally touch on everyone that will participate in this prayer today. I know the touch here means in agreement, but in childlike faith, I'm going to touch. I'm going to looking down on the screen, touch the profile of those that raise their hands. And I'm going to say, Lord, I am believing with them and they are believing with me. And that settles it. I'm going to pray. So I want you to quickly raise your hand. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask the Lord that, look, we've been going through this thing. You've been struggling with this thing for a long time. I don't care how long it's been. You know, don't worry about it. Today, there is an anointing that God allocated for today. And I am going to pray over those that have their hands raised right now. And I'm going to believe God with you. What you got to lose? The servant told Naaman, the chief of army staff, he said, look, what you got to lose? Why don't you just believe the man of God? Just go and do what he says. What you got to lose? I mean, suppose he told you to do some great thing. Well, suppose I come out here and say thing, you know, like soul for your miracle, which I would never do. Some people do that. They tell you, you want this kind of miracle, you got to bring this kind of sum, a large sum of money. What's that all about? Freely you have received, freely give. I'm not telling you to do any of that. I'm just telling you to believe the Lord. You know, let's just believe God together. What you got to lose? The only thing you got to lose is lose that sickness, sir. Lose that disappointment, sir. Lose that failure. Lose all of that. Believe God and see the Lord come through for you. So you got nothing to lose. Will you believe God with me today? Let's believe God together. In a moment, I am going to pray. It may be the prayer that will change your story. Hallelujah. It may be the prayer that will change your life. Glory to God. It may be the one thing today that God has appointed. And you know, God, he walks in mysterious ways. You know, he takes, you know, things that are despised of men and uses it to confound things. He can take this room. I mean, we don't have thousands of people in this room right now. It's just, you know, maybe, I don't know how many people are here, but whatever the number, you know. And so it may be despised. Maybe 30-something people here at the moment. You say, well, you know, it's not this large room and so forth. You know, well, maybe not. But the Lord, he takes the weak and the base things. He takes the little things. He can take the, you know, 2 loaves and 5 fishes. I mean, he can take, you know, whatever it is, and he can just amaze us. So the Lord is going to take your faith, my faith, together today. That's all we need. You know, what is in your hand today? What do you have? Do you have faith? Now, I challenge you, have faith in God. Hallelujah. So have faith in God and have faith in this word that we have brought to you today, brought to you by the Spirit of the living God. Have faith in this word. Now, if thou canst only believe, Mark chapter 9 and verse 23, if you can only believe, all things are possible to him that believe. There's nothing that shall be impossible unto you if you can only believe. Now, you say, well, I believed before, but it didn't happen. Well, don't worry about that. That was then, but this is now. And that man could have said, well, I tried it before. It didn't happen. Somebody stepped in ahead of me, so I'm not coming. But he came. He kept coming. And one day, he made an encounter. He had an encounter with the master of the universe. Master didn't need the water. He didn't need the angel. All he needed was his word. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to pray for you right now. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo. He said, well, you know, I need to be married. Well, yeah, he's got that too. I need a child. Well, he's got that too. I need healing. He's got that too. I need breakthrough in my finances. He's got that too. Especially for that area, he's going to give you wisdom, strategy, power. That's how he does it. He's not going to open the heaven and throw the dollars down on you. No, he may do it too, but he won't. But he'll give you strategy. Strategy. He will seal the instruction in your heart while you're sleeping. I'm going to be praying over all these things. So right now, here's what I want you to do. Zero in on the thing that you are believing God for. This thing that has eluded you, let's just believe God for this one thing. There may be more. I mean, God, once you are on a roll, don't stop. You can believe God for multiple things. But if you have difficulty keeping it straight in your head, write it down. And if you can only focus on one thing, that's good. You know, but whatever it is, be specific. We're not going to prayed, you know, some random prayer today, God bless me. What does that mean? He has already blessed you. He has blessed us already with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So be specific. Don't ask him for anything. If you ask him for anything, if the child asked the father for anything and he gave him a stone, the father would have been in his right, you know, because he asked for anything. But if he asked for bread, which is specific, not just anything, then he cannot give him a stone. Jesus said that himself. So don't just ask God for some, you know, weird, you know, thing, you know, generic thing that has no specifics. Be specific, you know, on what you want. Hallelujah. Say, ask and you shall receive. Glory to God. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. That's my ASK rule. A is for ask, S is for seek, and K is for knock. That's how you spell ask. You ask, you seek, you knock. Glory to God. It's a dual enfolding prophetic word even within itself. Hallelujah. So now, Lord, thank you for the hands that are raised. I'm putting my hand over the hand raising thing here. And Lord, I see all of the hands that are raised. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for every hand that is raised. Now, unto you shall the gathering of the people be. They raise their hand to you, not to me. You know, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I speak. Glory to God. I heard of the Holy Spirit to bring you this word today, so I speak it forth. I can't do it of my own, but he that sent me will back up his word. I am he that confirmeth the counsel of my messengers. Glory to God. Now, if I've spoken the word of the Lord today, then let the Lord confirm his word. Remember, Lord, your name is at stake for your people. And you said that they will never be ashamed. Glory to God. Now, for the shame that may have been in your life, Bible says for your shame and for your trouble, he will give you double. Double blessing coming your way. That's right. Praise the Lord. Ah, glory to God. The Lord will make it twice as good. That's what that means. It doesn't mean he'll give you two husbands. No, that's not going to happen. But he will make this husband twice as good as the last one or as what you ever hoped. Hallelujah. Or the wife or the child. Or maybe he'll give you twins. You know, I mean, I don't know. The Lord, I mean, the word of the Lord is so vast that who has been his instructor or known the mind of the Lord to instruct him? The Lord is the one that knows these things. I'm only his mouthpiece. Now I pray over all these hands that are raised here today. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to call out the names that I see that have their hands raised. And I believe the Lord, you know, is doing marvelous things for you. Because your hands are raised, I got my hand on this thing. I'm being careful to not turn something off when I put my hands here. But I got my hands on this thing. And the Lord sees you, St. Anne. Glory to God. The Lord hear you in the day of trouble, Olunife. The Lord sees you, Mr. Maggie. Glory to God. Praise God. And the Lord sees you, Joyce. Thank you for being here and for raising your hands. Brother Raphael, you've joined. Hallelujah. You raise your hand. Sister Pearl, the Lord sees you. Raise your hand, Sister Rebia. Glory to God. The Lord is looking at you, Sister Veronica, Sister Gift. Glory to God. And Sister Nicole. Now, you guys are responding to the word of the Lord, not just to me, but it is the anointing that you respond to that's going to heal you. Glory to God. And going to change your story. I see you, Melba. You raised your hand to the Lord. God bless you, Jessica. Sam, yes, Dr. D, you raised your hand and you were here and it's for a reason. I see you, Reniona. God bless you for raising your hand. I see you, Tommy. I see you, Victor. The Lord sees you through. You know, even though I'm seeing you, he sees you even more. Alexis, Star Mary, all of you that raise your hands, and those, I'm assuming that those of you that are on stage are raising your hands as well. Unfan and my wife, Lady Ebon, Mr. Titilayo that just joined. We are calling down heaven, an atmosphere shift for the people right now, that there is an end to whatever it is that has eluded us, whatever it is that has eluded you. Star Grace, I see your hand, you know, and everyone that's raised their hands in here today. Now, let me put it down this way. The Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. And his word is good too. He's good for it. You know, that's the thing. Is the Lord good for it? Absolutely. You know, he is good. He said, my word shall not return unto me void. Whatever I send it to do, it will prosper in that thing. Whatever my good pleasure is, that's what it will accomplish. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, ladies and gentlemen, there is surely an end to the thing that has eluded you till now. And what you will be singing, yeah, I said it before and I'm saying it again. You will be singing, see what the Lord has done. That's right. You know, you sing that on your wedding day. You will sing that on your naming ceremony when you're naming that baby. You will sing that when you are testifying of that healing. You will sing that when you're opening that new business and it's flourishing. You will sing it, whatever it is, glory to God. You know, the Lord will cause your mouth to be filled with laughter. Ha, 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 ha. He said, open your mouth wide. I will fill it with what? With good things and with laughter, saith the Lord. Glory to God. So, you know, see what the Lord has done. Now, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, now that we have covered everyone that raised their hand and those that may listen in later on, hallelujah, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that surely there is an end coming, and I declare it and I speak it forth. There is an end coming to the struggle and the pain that has eluded your people this long. It is enough, saith the Lord. Let my people go. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now enter into your testimony. Glory to God. Embrace that child. Yeah, walk down that aisle. Glory to God. Receive the keys to that new business or whatever it is you're believing God for here. Go in and get tested again and hear the good news. Well, the Bible says, if we receive the witness of men, 1 John 5:9, then the witness of God is greater. Hallelujah. And be careful and anxious for nothing after this, but in everything, just give thanks, knowing that the Lord will not fail you. Hallelujah. And the peace of God that passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord bless you, everyone. Don't second guess the Lord. Don't try to worry how. Don't worry about it. That's his business. Your business is what you want the Lord to do for you. His business is how he's going to do it. That's not your concern. The man was thinking it was going to, the how was going to be by the water or the angel. The Lord said, that's not your concern. Leave that one to me. Today, we don't need the angel. We don't need the water. I'm right here. Glory to God. So ladies and gentlemen, don't look to the water. Order or look to the angel, look unto the Lord. Hallelujah. and the Lord will do something marvelous. Your story is changing, and the Lord will give you a mouth full of testimonies. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. I cover everyone that's in this room that raised their hand with the blood of Jesus. I cover your testimony with the blood of Jesus. Some of you are standing for yourself. Some of you are standing for your children. Some of you are standing for your friends, your families, whatever, you know, whomsoever you stand for today. Remember, distance is not any barrier with the Lord. One man called a centurion stood for his servant. He even said, Lord, you don't even need to come to my house. Just speak the word only. Glory to God. And my servant shall be healed. And Jesus said, wow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And there was an expectation in the man's heart that his servant will be healed. There was an expectation in the heart of the Syrophoenician woman. I said, look, I'm not going to be denied. Dog or no dog, I will take even the crumbs that fall from the table. And my daughter must be healed. And her daughter was healed. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever it is today, we crown it with God's loving kindness and tender mercies. Thank you, Father. Blessed be thy name. Who are we, O Lord? Who are we that you should do this thing, you know, and that you'll bless your people like this on such a day as this? Who are we that you should bless us? Now, I want everybody to turn around and bless the name of the Lord your God. That's right. You know, bless his name for what he has done. Go ahead. Bless his name.